Now we're looking at the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. When that songwriter say, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, and washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. So Colossians chapter 1. Now this is the way Colossians chapter 1 put it. Amen. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul was speaking here concerning his testimony in the Lord, and in verse 24, amen. Say, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery, somebody shout mystery. Oh, say very loud, mystery. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. This is the mystery, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is the mystery? Which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what is the hope of glory? The hope of glory is Christ in you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16 says so. Praise the Lord. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now this is where we come to the technicality. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is, you can only talk about being a partaker of the glory that is awaiting us. The foretaste of glory is the life of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17 says so. The kingdom of God is not meat, it's not in drink. It says the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is a foretaste. That is testing something in advance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, there is a glory until Apostle Paul said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither is it put in the heart of man. Hallelujah. What God has prepared for them that love his appearing. What is awaiting us? Amen. What is awaiting us? Oh, I know, I have heard of testimonies of believers that when they are about dying, you know, on their deathbed, and then the relation, the children, maybe they are crying. Mama, you cannot go. Mama, you cannot go. Holy Ghost, fire, Holy Ghost. Mama, come back. Mama, come back. And then the woman will come back. Hey, I will look at them. Why do you disturb me? Why are you disturbing my peace? Where are they? Where I found myself before you call me back? Amen. Don't you want to die that type of death? Eh? Praise the Lord. I was a minister friend of mine in those days. So one day he collapsed. And then found himself saying some things that he didn't know he was saying. And then he was mentioning fella. Hallelujah. He was mentioning fella and what do you call that? This man that sang Kaya Man. What's his name? Bob Marley. He was shouting Bob Marley, fella, and mentioning all those people. So when eventually he recovered after we took him to the hospital, and then the next day he recovered and we are telling him all that happened. I allowed him to be discharged first. Then when he came back, I told him, I said, praise the Lord. I said, you know you were dying and going. He said, you don't know where you go. I said, you went to hell. He said, which hell? I said, you went to hell. He said, how do you know? I said, by the people you met there. Like, I can never jump Michael Jackson when I die. I can't jump Bob Marley when I die. I can't. If not, I will jump Anini. How many people know Anini? The notorious arm robber. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It disturbed him. It disturbed him. I know he started fasting. I said, it is not fasting. I said, God is giving you the opportunity to check your spiritual life. Nobody is going to heaven because you were a minister. Nobody is going to heaven because you operated any gifts. Hallelujah. You must understand, the hope of glory is Christ in you. It's Christ in you. When the preacher says, how many people want to receive Christ? It's not to receive him in your brain, in your mind. It's not to receive him, to add him to the many other things you have received. Because that is exactly how some people come to Christ. You receive him in addition to so many other things you have received. Yes, some of you have received spirit of fashion. Now you receive Holy Ghost to jam spirit of fashion. How do I know? You are operating the gift of the Holy Ghost, but very fashionable too. It's true. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, why will you just receive Christ? Amen. And then you receive hope. Why will you just receive Christ, then you have hope? The reason is because if Christ is in you, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passing. Hallelujah. Why is Christ interested in coming into you? Because when he comes into you, it is actually God by his spirit that comes inside of you. Amen. And when he comes to do a work of regeneration. He comes to recreate you. He comes to take away that nature that has cut you off from him. Hallelujah. The power to become a son of God is the power of transformation. It's the power that changes a sinner to a saint. That
That is why William Bryan was stressing that receiving the Holy Ghost is more than exercising a gift. Don't judge because you see vision. I know they see vision before. Now I see vision, then use it as the evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost. Now listen, if you receive the Holy Ghost, a gift will operate. But you can also operate a gift without receiving the Holy Ghost. I don't know if I'm speaking something about this. So, when I'm operating a gift, I was not operating a gift before, until one day I came like this, I begin to see this. Oh, praise God, we will rejoice with you. Something has happened to your life. Certainly. But, is that the evidence you have received the Holy Ghost? Is that, when I say Holy Ghost, is that the evidence you have received Christ in you? Now, if you have received Christ in you, the evidence is there will be a transformation. The things that God hates, you will begin to hate it. Something inside of you will make you fall in love with God. Now, you don't stop committing sin for fear that God will deal with you. Now, you stop committing sin because you love Him too much to do anything that will make Him be offended. You don't hurt anybody you love. That's why the Holy Ghost is the spirit of love. Because God is love. And he that loveth is of God. The Bible says so. Praise the Lord. I'm saying this, and this is what we'll be talking about from different angles. So that you'll understand why this is so important until we set a period like this for it. And I am not speaking from an academic presentation. This is a practical thing. If you don't have love, you cannot preach love. If you are not a giver, you cannot preach prosperity. If you are not converted, you cannot talk about the Holy Ghost. Amen. I am a practical example of what the Holy Ghost can do when it comes upon you. I'm telling you. I know what I was before I was converted to who I am now. And so what I'm telling you is real. And I'm not the only one, because I know I am saying the same experience with so many people listening to me now. That something that happened that makes you to know I am a child of God. Not because I prayed and God answered. Amen. Not because I prayed and there was a miracle that took place. It's more than that. Not because I prophesy, I see vision. I have a healing gift. It's more than that. But I have looked at myself. Amen. And I know that after that day, because you will always remember the day. I discovered that some bad things I used to do, the test just died. See, listen, church, I must let you emphasize this. I say some tests just die. This is how God does it. Everything will not go at once. Do you understand? Everything will not go at once. But there are certain things that will go that you will know they have gone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know why God does that. The only little example I have is Israel. He gave Israel a whole land. Then, he will allow some of the people to occupy part of the land and allow Israel to take every inch of them by battle. And then, in the neighborhood there, all over like that, in their borders there, he allowed hostile enemies all around. Amen. Amen. There is a purpose, but that's not where I'm going. But all I know is that he will do something in your life. And it is always in that particular area that when he has taken it away, it will be such an experience that you yourself, you say, now maybe this. I'm not going to do this one again. If you were a drunkard, all of a sudden the taste for alcohol will die. When you see this, hear the smell of alcohol, you feel like vomiting. And you didn't pray, Lord, take away alcohol from me. You see? If you were a serious womanizer before, all of a sudden, something will happen that will caution you that you shouldn't do that anymore. You now have the power to resist. What used to call your attention to charge you before, you don't even notice it anymore. That is one evidence you begin to have. Amen. If your own sister was fashion, suddenly they will remind you, sister, your powder, you never rub, and say, oh, not true, I never rub this powder today. Hey, it killed me. Now maybe this. They have to remind you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what is the hope of glory? The hope of glory. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Let's read it. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It said, but if there's, okay, let's read it from verse 9. Let's read from verse 9. He said, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. He qualifies it. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his kind. That scripture, they hit me. If any man, verse 9 again, the last statement. But if any man, any woman, have not the spirit of Christ. If you don't have the spirit of Christ, you are none of his. You are not a Christian until you have the spirit of Christ. Amen. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body, this physical body is dead because of sin. It will be dead to sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. Another condition, verse 11 now. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. The hope of resurrection. The hope of resurrection. The hope of resurrection. If that spirit that raised up Christ from the dead. Now that lets me know that unless, of course, that's why we can make the statement. Why couldn't the grave hold Jesus Christ captive? Because there was a spirit that was in him. And that spirit came on him on the day of water baptism by the riverside. As he came out of that water, he received the Holy Ghost. On his own, he received the Holy Ghost without measure. The fullness was in him. And that's why God had to announce, this is my beloved Son, in whom this is where I now dwell. Now that is the same spirit, praise the Lord, that was in him. The fullness was in him. No other human being had the spirit in fullness in him. Why? He became the temple of God. The fullness. Verse 19, Colossians chapter 1. Can we screen it? Verse 19, Colossians chapter 1. This is how I see it. For it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, in him, should all fullness dwell. All the fullness of God was in him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. This is the way he put it. He said, for in him, Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Bodily. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is why he became God's meeting point with man. That is why. And the Spirit of God is eternal spirit. So the spirit that dwelt in Christ was eternal spirit. The spirit that has no beginning and has no ending. Hey, Jesus. Eternal. So if you have that same spirit, you are an eternal being. If you have that same spirit, you are an eternal being. Look, you are looking at me now. You are looking at an eternal being. You are looking at the eternal being. Hallelujah. You are looking at an eternal being. I will live eternally. No more death. No age. One day I will become ancient of days. What is your age? Okay, from resurrection till now, that should be 1 million. 1 million. According to man's time, because we don't use time in eternity. So I'll be saying, according to man's time, that should be 1 million. And you're looking so young. Oh, it's because the body I have now. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. The body that I have now is what Apostle Paul described in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Open 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. Those who have the Holy Ghost. How many are we? How many are we here? Oh, glory be to God. He said, we shall not all sleep. We shall not all die, because some people will be alive. Some will come by the way of the grave. Some of us will be alive like this. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. For in the grave, or those of us who are alive, we shall all be changed. The next verse, 52. It says, in a moment we shall be changed. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Twinkle your eye, let me see. That is how long it will take for that change to take place. So one of these days, we just tell like this, they look me like this. Kaka, all my gorima kwa don't go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The body that I have now is not the body that will live eternally. Oh, hang this scripture. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 1. See the way Apostle Paul put it there. Then we come back again to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. See, hallelujah. This is the way Apostle Paul put it. He said, for we know that if our earthly house, this body, it's our earthly house, not the house you rent where they live now. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, this house, we are dissolved, we have a building of God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. William Branham called that house our theophany. There is your own house. Remember that what you are seeing now is my house. I hope you know it is not Moses Alu you are seeing. Eh? Oh, look at your neighbor. It's not your neighbor you are seeing. You are looking at the house that your neighbor is living in. Eh? The real you is not what we are seeing. The real you is inside this house. Hallelujah. That's why if you destroy this house, by shooting me, by cutting my neck, You have only destroyed my house. I will change address. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we have, when Jesus Christ said, in my Father's house are many mansions. The mansions there are not buildings like you see in Ikoyi and other places in Abuja. The mansion there is this mansion. But this one now is a glorious mansion. Not this one where they will age out. Hallelujah. He said, if this one be dissolved, call it, if this is our house, earthly house, of this tabernacle, we are dissolved. Whether by air crash, by fire, whether ritual killers scatter it, do whatever they want to do. Amen. We have a building of God. A house not made with hands. You see? It's not made with hands. That house is eternal in the heavens. Okay, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hallelujah. Once again, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. That is not with the skin that can perish. And we shall be changed. 53. He said, for this corruptible, this body is corruptible, must put on incorruption. And this mortal, the same body we have, must put on immortality. A mortal is anything that can die. Immortality is something that cannot die. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's read on. Let's continue. Hallelujah. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. 55. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? 56. The sting of death, the thing that caused death is what? Sin. And the strength of sin is what? The law. That's why we needed grace. 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. These are the things we know we get very excited over. To know that whether I acquire anything on earth here or not, I have a hope. I have a hope. Hallelujah. Whether I have anything here or not, I have a hope. No matter what I am suffering now, I am not suffering for nothing. I'm suffering for something. Oh yes, these are some of the things you know that you resist temptations. That some of the things you know that makes you cling to the cross on Calvary. These are some of the things you know that makes you live a life checking yourself every day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Grave could not hold him captive. Grave will not hold us captive. Why? He said, if that same spirit that raised him from the dead dwell in you, if he did not have that spirit, he would not have been able to come out of the grave. The assurance that he had, that's why he said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. The reason is because he knows he is the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The power to do and undo was in him. Amen. The power to do and undo was in him. Amen. And he said, he that believeth in me, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Death could not hold him captive. Death will not hold you captive. Oh, certainly, by that spirit that dwell in you. You see? So the only hope of glory is that the same spirit that was in Christ Jesus also dwells in you. But catch it, church. Amen. That spirit was only in Christ, the first begotten of the Father. Only him had it. He carried it like that to the cross on Calvary. When that Roman soldier pierced his side, amen, water and blood came out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. When he shouted, it is finished. The Bible says, and he gave up the ghost. I want to understand that literally as it is written. I know that we use the language, he has given up the ghost, when you want to say somebody has died. Yes, when he dies, because his ghost was with him. The spirit of a man, while you are alive, you say, my spirit. But after you die, that spirit becomes a goat. Are you a goat? Praise the Lord. Who is a ghost? The ghost is the spirit of a dead man. Am I correct? Hallelujah. The same thing, Jesus Christ, he gave up the ghost. Which ghost? It is the Holy Ghost that was in him. Amen. That he released. And that spirit was released. Oh, glory be to God. And it was hanging there until he resurrected. And when he resurrected, amen. Amen. That's the same spirit that came on the day of Pentecost. And filled those 120 souls in the upper room. Oh, glory be to God. And that same spirit has been in the world from that time till now. What is he doing? He's looking for everyone whose name is in the book of life. He's looking for everyone that will give his life to him. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's going around. And when you come to the altar, it's not just enough that you're coming to the altar. First, that same spirit will begin to deal with you first. Altar call that you are able to stand up from your seat and go to the altar. Or that even in your room, wherever you decided to make a decision to serve God, that action is also an action of the Holy Ghost. It's an action of the Holy Ghost. The first thing that spirit does with you when it comes upon you is to convict you of sin. That's what the Bible says. It's to convict you first of sin. That is the first thing that spirit will do. To make you know that you are a sinner and you deserve death. To let you know your life is finished if you don't reconcile with your maker. That is the knowledge it causes you to know how wretched you are without him. That is where it begins. And if that is the process by which he convicts you. I preached the message, convinced and concerned. You remember that message? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. First and foremost, the stages of salvation, when you hear a message, the message that you are a wretched person and you need God. Then you get convinced. Yes, what you are saying is true. The next thing is, when you are convinced, then you will be convicted. The estate of conviction there is the estate where you know that you deserve to die. Now hell straight. Amen. Then after you are convicted, then you get concerned. I deserve to die. I deserve to go to hell. If I die now hell straight at the go. Look at my estate. Look at the kind of useless life I'm living without God. See. That is the conviction. Then you get concerned. Is there a way out? That is the concern. It is that concern that makes you hear him say, come to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It is then you can answer altar call. And when that person is coming for altar call, he doesn't call laughing. The Bible speaks about godly sorrow. That is a conviction that worketh, produce repentance. But these days, I have seen a geo that makes altar call. Now the Lord is coming. He's waiting for you. Wherever, 1, 2, I'm counting 10. 1, then everybody's standing up. You see them running. Then they are laughing. And then they run. If they go, you deserve to go. Where are they coming? Altar call. That's not altar call. Anything. You are too heavy to run. Run what? A convicted person. When you are there, your heart is sobbing. Sometimes you feel even too heavy, you can't even stand up from your seat. But this says, what do you tell them to convict them like that? Our God is good. He's good. He's good. He's good. Oh, hallelujah. He loves you. How many people want the love of God? Don't you want to go to heaven? Oh, come now. Oh, come. He loves you. The ushers are going around the seat. The way they look, you look like sinner. So he says, stand up, go to the altar. Go to the altar. He will look you again. This one look like a sinner. Go to the altar. Oh! Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm talking about serious matter here. Salvation has not been properly presented. So there's nothing for you to even be convinced before you begin to be convicted. So people come to altar call and yet they are actually just, you know, it's a game. Altar call. So Jesus said, come to me. It's not to answer with leg. The answer is from the heart. It's from the heart. First, then you make a decision. Satan, you're a liar. Before all this crowd, I'm going to go out and proclaim this nonsense life I'm living. My life. Father, I am coming. And that same boldness that made you to leave your seat, if it is out of a decision, until you come out, as you are kneeling down there, you are challenging Satan. Satan, you have lost me. Watch and see whether we go back again. So if I die now, to say I die, to now hell I forgo. You are leading me to hell. See, there is a way you really get so convicted until your past life, you will hate it. You'll be so ashamed of yourself. So ashamed, too ashamed to even remember it. And you begin to see grace, see how God has been so patient with you. He could have seen people die, other people die, but how many times you escape accident, even in your sin, he made sure you didn't die until now. These are the things you begin to appreciate God. You appreciate God. That comes only by the same action of the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost does not convict you to give your life to Christ, don't bother, don't bother. Continue living your life. Go and drink beer. Go and smoke a cigar. Go and carry woman anyhow. Carry man anyhow. Don't live anyhow life. Just go ahead. And make sure you don't pay your tithe and offering. Like they teach you. Some people think that God is more interested in your tithe and offering than your soul. Yes. That's how it is. I told you the other day, when I preached one message here, as I was an unbeliever, I learned that we learn a lot of things. After we are, you know, we get born again, then we begin to understand life more. Especially those of us who are preachers. As a young boy, married at the age of 28 years old, and I married this young girl, and I think I was 5 years older than her. So, she was about 23 when I married her, my wife. And she's still the same woman till now. And I will not have another one again after her. Now together now will they go. Yes, for better, for worse. Here and hereafter. We'll continue like that. Praise the Lord. Now listen, church. Now as a young man, you know, I felt all that she needed, I was giving her. And that was the truth. Whatever any young woman will need from her husband, I was giving her. And yet, she was still troubling me. She was still, you know, nagging here and here, here and here, here and here. You know, and until one day, I said, but what is your problem? I give you all that you need. I mean all. Anything she needed. Anything. You need a car. It's a phone call. What do you need? Money. Take it. In fact, she will go to the market and not know what to buy again because there's nothing she doesn't have. She will come back with the money. And then, I said, but what is your problem? And she told me, you give me everything I need, but you. Because I did not have time for her. I was chasing other women up and down. Then I'll come, what do you say you want? Take. What else? Any other thing? Say, okay. And they go. She had every other thing, but she did not have me. And she said, it is you I want, not those things. I'm sure it is her prayer that made God to arrest me. Now, she has me and none of those things again. Praise the Lord. And she said, she told me recently, she said, and she's happier now. She's happier now because it is me she came to marry. And not the things I was giving her. It was me she loved. Not my things. She did not love my things, my money and things like that. Now, why I use that example? That is the same way we approach God. You bring your tithes. You bring your offerings. You bring your vows. Anything in the house of God, you go and do it. But your soul, you will deny God. That's how many of us are into Christianity. And God is saying that it is not the tithe, it's not the offering, it's not the what. I need your soul. That is the problem man has. You think you will appease God with all the things you do in the church? Can you help God? He went to the cross to get your soul. So no matter what you do, and you do not give him your soul, you have not given him what he desires. That's what I want you to learn from that. That's the problem God has with us. You have no time to pray. You have no time to read. You have no time to have fellowship with the Holy Ghost. You have no time. But you remember to do whatever they say you should do. What did pastor talk? What are they do for church now? They said, they made for how much? Okay, Chuku, come carry my own, go give them. Tell pastor, say, I don't pay my own, no. Then you are off. No. Amen. No. Christianity has gone beyond that. God is looking for something. He's looking for your soul. He's looking for your soul. And that is the reason why his interest is in your heart. For where your treasure is, what did he say? That is where your heart will be. Where your treasure is. That's the reason why this is the process of conversion. Ezekiel 36.